Welcome back for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, starring your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today, we're going to be opening up in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." One thing you'll notice about Jesus is he doesn't give a lot of like commands. There's not a lot of things that he says, go do. It's very minimal. Love God, love people, make disciples of men. If you want to talk about laws and things to do and not to do, you can go back to the Old Testament. They got 600 something of commandments that we're supposed to be following. But if you read the Gospels, if you read the Good News, the natural reaction of us all is to tell people about it. If you read it, the whole thing is about people having these encounters with the Spirit, with the living God, Jesus, or just through the faith of the disciples and being encountered and then starting to gain faith. And when it says to make disciples, what a disciple is someone that hears the good news and then they speak it out upon others, and they're trying to further the kingdom of God. And ultimately that's our main call. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbors. Three, tell them why you love them.
I think realistically, there's a good saying that says you'll attract more flies with honey than you will with vinegar, right? So if you're instantly out the gate, you're trying to bring somebody to Christ, but you're out the gate just throwing stones at them, they're not going to listen to you because now you're not the image of who they thought God was, right? We're preaching that God is love, but the people of God aren't loving. They're condemning you because of the way you dress. They're condemning you because of how you speak. They're condemning you because of the way of life that you might live, or maybe you're trying to find yourself out of that life. But because they're essentially judging you on the way you are currently, you don't want to be like them. You immediately turn away. You're like, maybe God isn't for me. And I think that's extremely important. If you want to help people, help them by nurturing them.
Yep, and it's like how... exactly like I said in the steps, how are you to share the word if you're not loving people? So if you're not loving people, if you already accepted your salvation and Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you're not loving people, you're missing out on the main piece right there.
Yeah.
That was the number one thing Jesus did, is he went and sat with people that weren't like him, the people that didn't look like him, the people that didn't think like him, and he just loved on them. He gained their trust, and through that, they realized the love of God. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." And that's exactly what he says, like, with the honey. Come in sweet. You know what I mean? They don't want to be hit by the stones. They want to be fed with the bread. We live not alone on bread, but we live on God. And when it says to always be prepared, that's why it's our call. How are you going to be prepared if you don't know the word? You know what I mean? This right here is what the people are wanting, is they're wanting the word of God. So us as being followers of Christ, our duty is to be knowledgeable in the word and to love God. And by loving God, you're going to dive into the word and you're going to be expressing that onto other people. And that's when you can give them to the solution to the joy and the hope that you have in your life.
Yeah. And it's that new heart that you get when you're saved. That new heart is full of love and nurture, and it needs to be kept up with. And by going out and saying hey to somebody and being like, "Have you heard the word of Christ today?" Something as simple as that, or maybe you're extra happy and somebody asks you, "Why are you so happy?" You go, "You know, because God loves me. That's why. Because I got into the word today and God fills me with so much joy that nothing can put me down. Nothing can put me down, at least not completely. I mean, we all have our moments, but God's always got our back.
He always wants to bring us in. No matter how far we are, you call in the name and you're seated right back at the right hand. And I feel like a lot of times when we fall into sin and we feel like we're far away from God, and you call on his name, he sees you right back next to him. And that's a hard thing for us to comprehend. because it gives us like imposter syndrome. We're like, oh, I no way I'm right here right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like we like kind of teleport right next to him, and then you like look around, and you're like, oh no, but I don't deserve this. And he's like, but you're here, and you're with me, and you asked for forgiveness, you repented, you're back with me. And it's really just understanding how good he is. When you understand how good God is, it's like you can't help but to tell people. Like, if you truly, truly, like, have understood, like, how powerful he is and how good he is to you, do you not love people enough to tell them? Are you ashamed of it? Like, and I mean, I'm not saying this is in, like, a way of, like, I share the gospel to every single person I come in contact with. But that's been like a muscle that I've started to work out, because I'm like, he died for me in public. I'm not going to live in him for him in private. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell people that like you are loved and you are able to be free. And it's all in the name of Jesus. And I'm just here to tell you, he's changed everything about everything within me. The old me's dead. You know, I'm here and I'm on the way up, and I'm sharing with you how you can stand up too.
Exactly. I mean, if somebody's handing out free donuts, what's your first reaction going to be? It's going to be to go to the next person you see and go, hey, they're giving out free donuts down there. So why wouldn't you go, hey, they're giving out free love down the street. There's a church out there that's giving out free love. That, you know, whoever group you're part of, or whatever scripture you've read that speaks to you, you should say, there's free love. You should point to your Bible and say, there's free love in this book. This book might cost you $20 at Walmart, $30 at Walmart, but there's free love inside, and it's full of it from front to back, full of love. All you have to do is accept it.
In today's generation, we'll pay $30 a month for a Tinder subscription to maybe find love. But if you were guaranteed to find love, and as I look on the back of this Bible right here, for $5.99, you're guaranteed to find love, and not only love, but everlasting love that leads to everlasting life. If you knew that, would you do it? And if you knew it, would you tell people about it?
Well, and it's love without exception, right? How many times have people said, I'm in love. I'm in love with this person. This person loves me. But you do one thing wrong. I hate you. Get out of my life. Leave me. How many people have gone through that? God doesn't do that. You don't do something wrong and God's like, be gone from me. God goes, hey, that was wrong. But this is how I can help you, and this is how I've saved you. Right? He sent his only son down and sacrificed him, his perfect son, his only son, as Nick had said in the last episode, for us to say, God loves me so much that he sacrificed his only son to bring me closer to him. And every time I do something wrong, I can say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. You have provided things in my life that I don't deserve. You have kept me from things in my life that I did deserve to receive. And it's because of that, that I'm a better person. I want to be a better person. I want to spread that word to other people about that, because you don't see that in today's world. You don't see that to the person sitting next to you at work. You don't see that to the person that might be sitting next to you in bed right now. That person will love you, but there's exceptions to that love. And there's none to the love of God.
He has an infinite amount of grace and mercy. And as you know, as humans, that's so hard for us to understand, because we've never actually experienced that. Like I said, like he said, you know, you cheat on your girlfriend.
Yeah,
yeah. A solid seven to eight times out of ten, it's over right there. But what God is he's saying, get rid of your idols and focus on me. So God becomes our idol, right? And as a righteous and good idol, and the only acceptable one. But when we start to turn away from him and we start to find peace and satisfaction through other things and repetitively, and we begin to run to certain things, that becomes our idol. And it's like we're cheating on God. We're literally like saying, okay, well, I know you love me.
Yeah.
But I love this one. And he forgives you. And he, like I said, he has an infinite amount of grace and mercy. And we just talked about this. This is kind of a cool concept, the difference between grace and mercy. For some reason, I just always thought they were the same thing. Grace is receiving the things that you don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving the things that you do deserve. So he's going to put blessings on you. He's going to make sure that you, you know, He's gonna keep you upright. And even though you've sinned and you've been in situations when you probably shouldn't be in this position, he still, by his grace, has gotten you to this point. But because of his mercy, you know, you're not receiving death of your sins, because that's ultimately the penalty of sin, and was death. And because of his mercy, you know, we're no longer held to be liable for the consequences of our actions.
And I think we need to spread that with everybody. And a kind of a verse that kind of speaks out to me on that one is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." So by speaking the word of God, by speaking love onto people and to spreading God's love with other people, you're putting life into them, right? It's that springs of life. It's the well that continues to give, as Nick has said in the past. I may have butchered that a little bit, but at the end of the day, by giving somebody the word, and that makes if you make a true impression on somebody, you speak the word to somebody, you speak the truth to somebody, and that makes a true impression on them, you are giving them life. You are taking the breath from God and breathing it into them. And that's what that is.
And the Bible says that the tongue holds the power of life and death. So you can speak down on people. And what you speak really does have power. But when you are speaking the word of God on someone, you're, like he said, you're speaking life into them. And one thing we were just talking about, the word of God never goes void. When you speak that word, no matter if you feel like you made any progress on that person or not, you've now imprinted that word of God onto their heart. And they, like I was just saying, that he probably is not going to remember your name. They're probably not going to remember. They might not even remember that it was out of the Bible, but they heard that and they knew there was truth behind it. And it, like I was saying, it kind of goes back to the Old Testament. Before there was ever a book written, before Moses was even given the commandments, Abraham and the blessed bloodline, they had the word written on their hearts, and that was a gift from God to them. And by getting in the word, like I was saying, if we don't even remember the verse, just by reading through it, it's being put into us. So when it says to be prepared, to answer questions, that's our role, is to be knowledgeable on that word. And even though you're not the most, you know, you're not a Bible scholar, but you've done your homework, you know what I'm saying? And now you're going to imprint that onto them.
Yeah. And I think it's neat when, really, if you go into the song, actually, and Nick showed me this song, it's the song called Nobody. And it is absolutely amazing. It's a truly uplifting song, but there's a line in it that says, "I'm trying to put my name in history, but if they forget who I am, it doesn't matter because I'm trying to spread the word of Jesus." Something along those lines, not direct quote, but at the end of the day, that's our goal, right? It doesn't matter who we are, because all that matters is spreading the word of God and just to spread his love and to spread his word and to spread his truth. That is the main point and the main draw, and you can only do that through love. You can only do that through being kind to people, by being nurturing to them.
Like, when you die, what's going to be back? What's going to be behind you when you die? Your riches? It's going to get blown by your kids. Sorry to break it to you. Maybe even if you start, you know, you teach all of your descendants, you say, "Hey, this is how you invest to become generationally wealthy." Eventually, that's going to die out.
Yeah.
Because there, you know, there's going to be some point in the bloodline where it's like, okay, we don't want this going to anybody else. But if you die and you lived a life of doing nothing but creating disciples and sharing the good news of God, ultimately what the gospel does to a heart is, like you said, you get a brand new heart. And, you know, hypothetically, if you pass away and you only brought, you know, not you brought, you are obedient enough to allow the Spirit to speak through you to bring 10 souls to Christ. And now those 10 people live 20, 30 years past your death. And now those people live those 20, 30 years walking in a new purpose, also creating disciples. It's an infinite chain that just goes down history.
Yeah.
And do you understand the impact that makes on the world? the only thing that you're able to take into heaven is other people.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people like to think about passive income, but nobody ever thinks about passive faith, right? It's passive, you know, you spread the word of gospel to one person, that person spreads it to two people, that person spreads, those two people spread it to two more people, right? It's a pyramid, really. You know, you think of a pyramid scheme, but in this case, it's leading people to Christ. Is it really a scheme or is it something amazing, something great? Now, if you take that and you not only spread it to your kids, say you have four kids, but you also spread that to your neighbors. You spread that to everybody at church. You spread that to, or you bring people into church. You spread that to people at the subway. You spread that to people, you know, you go to the community center and you spread it to them. That's passive faith. And that'll continue to spread. As Nick said, that is everlasting. That's never going to go away. That's never going to fade out or fizzle down. You know, there isn't an heir that's just going to squander that completely. It's never going to go away.
And it says, truly, my disciples will be in the Word, and the Word will reveal the truth, and the truth will set them free. So as disciples, as people who already know the good news, we're called to be in the Word. The Word is going to show us the truth, and the truth is going to set us free. And through our freedom, we're going to see all these bonded souls, and we're going to say, hey, boy, do I have something to tell you about? And then by speaking the Word onto them, you're revealing truth to them. I mean, I can tell you every single thing that Jesus has done in my life, but that's only going to be personal experience. But when I start speaking that Word onto somebody, that Word never goes void. And eventually, somewhere down the line, there's going to be truth revealed to that person. And by knowing what he has done for us and what he's promised us, that's like enabling me to share that on to you. And then by me knowing the Word, it's going to open your eyes. And by your eyes being open, you're going to sit at home after I've already left, and you're going to start thinking about it. And then if you're a father of a household, like he said, now you're going to start being the influence over the household, and you're going to start acting in a different way. And, you know, your kids are going to follow in your footstep, but also your friends are going to say, what's different? What's going on over there at the Richardson's house? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Richardson house or the Melvin house.
Right.
Like, that person's a lot happier. That person seems to be doing a lot better in life. What are they doing different than I'm not? You know, and it's something I think is an interesting perspective as a Christian is – we don't like to think of it like this, but we're a thief to a certain degree. Every time we save somebody else, we're stealing a soul away from the devil, right? So every time we take a soul, we're a thief from the devil himself. We're a thief of the thieves. And I think that's pretty interesting because as we bring more people into God's house, right? More, that's just more trophies for God to put up on his shelf. Right? That's the only thing God cares about. He doesn't have a stack of $100 bills sitting in his house. He doesn't have a stack of gold bars. He doesn't have a Ferrari sitting in his garage. But he's got us. He's got his disciples sitting up on a shelf. He has his brothers in Christ sitting there saying, you know, go out and do my works for me. That's what God wants.
Yo, I really, really want to encourage you. If you've understood this truth, be bold, pray. And like we said, there's power in prayer. So, you know, if you feel like you're not confident enough to share the Word, pray for confidence, pray for boldness, pray. And then one thing too, pray that the Spirit speaks through you. He's waiting on you to ask. That saint, like I said, the Spirit that was living in the disciples also resides in you now. And now sometimes you just got to, you got to shut off your little brain and shut your lips and say, okay, Spirit, now you speak through me. And I was just telling him the other night, I was sitting down with a couple friends, and one of our neighbors was moving to Colorado, so it was the last time seeing her. And I'm kind of talking with this one girl. She asked me and my friend how church was, so we started talking to her. And I had like a five-minute conversation with this girl, and I felt like I was really getting in the grit of just kind of sharing what he's done in me and through me. And she looks at me. And then she just turns to her left and starts talking to this other girl, completely just kind of shuts it off. And I'm like, that kind of hurt. Like, I thought I was doing something. And that was literally God's way of saying, you do nothing. I want you to know your flesh has no power. It's your obedience that allows the power to work through you, that the power is now instilled into you. So as I'm sitting there, I'm just kind of looking down. And I'm like, all right, it's your turn, Spirit. See what you got. And I was telling him, it was almost like a blackout for me. I just started saying stuff. It was rolling off the tongue. And I'm like, as I'm speaking to this girl, I start seeing her eyes just kind of start open up. She starts looking around. I see the thoughts starting to process through her brain. And like the verse we just quoted, it says, and do it with gentleness, love on that person, gain that trust first. Hungry souls aren't looking to be hit with stones on how to be better. They're looking for bread. They're looking to be fed. So feed that person. That's the same way Jesus did. Jesus didn't come up to the sinners and say, get right, and then I'll love you. It was the opposite. He said, I love you. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
And that's the same way we're supposed to be. You see someone that's a level 10 sinner, you don't go up to them and say, you're going to hell. You go up and say, you know what? The same God that died for me, the same Jesus that died for me, he died for you.
Yes.
And he loves you, and he's here for you, and the Spirit is speaking to you. Just open. I pray that your eyes would be opened. And pray over that person, too. So pray for yourself that the Spirit will work through you and that you'll be obedient and humble enough to allow that to happen. But then also pray over that person. If this is a pre-scheduled meeting with this person, you know, you can pray before, but then also I encourage you to pray after. I mean, there's a lot of power, and the power is in the faith. So if you have faith, like you said, that mustard seed can move the mountain. That mustard, if you pray to the Most High and you say, I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to Philip Richardson and through dreams and visions, Lord, reveal yourself to where they cannot deny you. Do you not believe that can happen? You know, when Jesus was on the ship and he was crossing the sea and they said, Jesus, the boat's crumbling. We're going to die. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, and I think about that. Like, when you pray, just think, like, if you doubt your prayers, just recite that in your mind. Oh, ye of little faith. No, that's not my faith. That's not my God. I know what he's done for me, and I know for a fact he can also do that for you. Because when Jesus came to die, it says he came to die to save the whole world. He didn't say he came to die and save, you know, the almost good people. He came to for every one of us.
Everyone. You know, it's something that's kind of cool that I saw this morning that was, it was a little bit of a different story. I was actually scrolling through TikTok of all things, and it came up, and luckily I've kind of gotten my algorithm a little bit cleaned up. Mm-hmm. But it was a video, and this guy was talking about the fact that, you know, when Jesus was up there, right, he had a thief to the side of him. And he told the thief that because of his faith, he's going to heaven. He'll be in heaven with me. You'll be in heaven with me today. He didn't say, well, you're faithful, but you didn't go down there and do good works. You didn't go down there and pray. You know, you didn't go down there and fast. You didn't go down there and help this old lady cross the street. You didn't go down there and do all these things. He said, because you are faithful in me, because you believe my story, because you believe that I am the Son of God, you'll be in heaven with me today.
He promised him that too. I mean, you don't know. That thief could have never done a single good thing in the whole entire eternity of his life.
From the time he was born to the time he died, he could have been literally robbing the cradle.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just in that one moment right before he was about to die. He looked at him and he said, you know what? I believe that you are the Lord and Savior. And I just ask a favor. And that was what the thief said. He says, can I ask a favor of you? And we ultimately, we're not entitled to it. Like, it's a gift to us. You know what I mean? Like, and as a gift, we're supposed to be grateful for that and be like, and as being grateful, that's when it gets shared. You know what I mean? If it's entitlement, it's like, okay, I get that this is mine. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's not how it worked.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, you can't take God's love and go, I want this all to myself, you know, and I'll be honest with you, it's kind of tempting, but you have to understand the fact that his love isn't, you know, limited to you, right? It's not focused on you. He's not of the flesh. He is all around us all the time. He's around me. He's around you. He's around the homeless guy that's, you know, five blocks down the street that you turn away from. He's with everybody. And as long as you spread his love, it'll continue to multiply and it'll continue to grow. But by keeping it to yourself, it's going to die out. It's going to fizzle away. If every church suddenly said, you know what, we're going to stop accepting new members, eventually the church would die out. People would grow old. People would leave the church. And it would never be the same again. It would never continue to grow.
Since, like, and one thing is, like, since 2020, There's been this whole new kind of era or whole new like subcategory of the internet that's arose. And what that is like this hustler mindset. And it was something I kind of fell into. And I want to say in like 2022, Facebook was actually sued because they were pushing this algorithm of hustling. And what was happening was they were saying like seek discomfort, and it was just kind of keep pushing through. And you know what I mean? There's success on the other side. And I want to remind you, all this is money, right? This is all about money, success, fame, blah, blah, blah. But apply that same, those same rules to your faith. Seek discomfort. Keep going. You know what I mean? There's on the other side. And that's the thing is you'll realize all these like worldly ideas, they all are based on a little truth, and it's based on the beginning. And in the beginning was this word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and it spread into the world. And now there's a little bit of truth in that. And so like, it's not going to be comfortable sharing your faith. Like I'm telling you, the first time sharing your faith is going to be the hardest time you'll ever do it, but it only gets easier. And you're going to find people that are going to be more difficult than others. But that's only going to be build endurance in you.
The first time I ever sat down and tried to, I guess you could say, try to save somebody was actually a cousin of mine, sat down with him. And the hardest words I ever had to hear in my life was him go, "Well, you tried."
Hmm.
That hurts, because you know that no matter what you do, no matter what you say from this point forward, they're probably not going to listen to you, because now you're just spouting stuff they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear.
But you planted a seed, and ultimately, like, our victory is not found in saving someone. Like I said, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our victory is found in the obedience. And like, it's like, if God's over here and, you know, the person that doesn't know him is 10 yards back, every single good experience that they have with someone who truly acts and lives out the word of God, it moves them one step closer. And then, you know what I mean? They'll meet someone else, and that other person will move one step closer. So you just pulled somebody out of darkness, and though he doesn't know the full truth, now you just pass that baton on to someone else. And now the next time someone else speaks to him, he's going to say, okay, well, it's like they're almost feeding off. And that's how the Spirit works. Is the Spirit works in omniscient ways that we can't understand. And it's ultimately our obedience that's what moves that chess piece. But so like we said, be that good influence on someone. Like, and that good influence is loving them. Like, that's literally what it is. But on the opposite side of that, if you are someone who claims the name of Christ and you aren't loving, and you're not loving on this person, and you're hating on them, or, you know, you're just speaking down on them, looking down on them, that's going to move that piece back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And every good interaction is going to move that piece once forward. Every bad interaction is going to move it twice backwards. So that's why it's so important that we love, just love on people. And as far as you're loving people, the only people that are going to turn away from your love is the people that never wanted love in the first place.
Yeah. I think kind of a good verse, and not a, it's going to, I'm going to have to spin it a little bit to fit, but it'll fit. And it's in Galatians 6:1. I've been wanting to spit this out all podcasts. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted." So what Nick said is, you know, every bad interaction you have with that person is going to set them two steps back, right? So if you go to approach this person and they don't immediately accept your word, and you get mad at them,
yep,
right? So you go from nurturing to throwing stones. That's a bad interaction. You've now been tempted by your anger. You've been tempted by your pride. Something has made you lash out at this person simply because they didn't accept something that, for the time being, they don't know is true. And let's be honest, we've all heard it. Truth is hard to accept. Nobody likes the truth. If you're speaking the truth to somebody, they're not going to accept it immediately. It's going to take time. You're going to have to ease them into it. And once they know the truth, then they'll accept it. But you can't just immediately go out and throw stones at them and expect them to know it and expect them to accept it out the gate.
But like you said, like when you're sharing your faith with somebody and then you ask them, is this something you want to do? I've asked this to a lot of people. When you get that no, it hurts. And I've had that where it's like, I mean, some of the people the closest to me, I mean, I'll be working on them. And it's like, is this something that you think that you believe in? And you know, it's like, I don't really know. And in that moment, when I get that response, I'm like, I just want to grab their jaw, spread it open, grab the Bible and shove it down their mouth. That's like my flesh reaction. But to overcome that, is where the victory is found. And that's you showing that grace on them. And like a story I was sharing with him is I brought a good friend. I've been trying to invite this dude to church for probably close to a year. But you know, he kept saying, no, I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know. So what I did is I just started loving on this guy. I just started doing anything that he needed. You know, if he needed a ride somewhere, give him a ride, start being loving on him. I would speak in what God was doing in my life and the joy that he's been giving me. But I kind of stepped back from shoving it down his throat, and I just loved on him. And I just kept praying on him, man. I prayed on him for a month. Our church is doing this big thing about who's your one more. And if you feel like if there's someone in your life that you physically can't get to know the truth, start praying on them and don't give up on them. That's my biggest advice. Do not give up. It took me a year to get this man into church, right? I get him in, and we're sitting there and I'm looking at him right after the sermon's ending, and I can see his emotions are all stirred up. And reminder, this is the guy that told me he didn't believe in anything. Took a year for this to even step into the foot of the church. And afterwards, I'm talking to him. I'm like, hey, man, how do you feel about that? Like, tell me your thoughts, ask me questions. And we start getting into it. And I'm praying that the Spirit speaks through me. And I was speaking, answering all this man's questions, right? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing everything right, right? So the next day comes, and he actually asked to come back to church. And after the sermon finishes, I look at him and I'm expecting him to be kind of stirred up, and he almost seemed kind of dull. And then one thing he told me that first night is he said, I was feeling like something was telling me to go to the altar. And I mean, that got me like, woo, yeah, it's working. And so that next day they did the altar call, and I nudged him. I was like, you want to go? And he's like, nah. And in that moment, I just kind of got down on myself. I'm like, dang, was this all for nothing? Like, that's kind of like my first reaction. It's like, dang, was this all for nothing? And then, you know, we go on and we hang out afterwards, and he doesn't really talk about it. And then I go home, I start playing Call of Duty, and he's at his place, and it's probably 11:30 at night. I'm about to go to sleep, and I hear a knock on my door. I open the door, and it's him, and he's got a packet in his hand. And he went online and he downloaded this 30-page color printed packet to discover Jesus. And it was a 30-day devotional to find out who Jesus was. And man, in that moment right there, bro, I was like, it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't for nothing. And even if you never see that end, somebody will. Plant the seed, be obedient, keep watering the seed, and just be resilient. Do not give up. And don't get upset when they don't accept it, because you're being obedient. You're doing your part. And this is a body of Christ. You're not the forefront of it. Somebody else might have to finish for you. But just reminder, just keep going. Keep sharing your faith. And we really want to encourage you guys to who is your one more? We want you to think about that. Who is the one person in your life that you know that they're far from God? They don't know God. Pray for yourself for boldness and for confidence and to be spoken through, and then pray for them. Pray that the Spirit would reveal themselves to you. Pray for them that they would be accepting of the good news that you have. And then when the time comes, just go in your head, close your eyes. Even though you're not wanting to do it, you say 3, 2, 1. Hey, man. Do you think I could share one thing with you? I think that's changed my life. I just want one chance. And then, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a pickup line. There's not an exact way to do it, but there's a lot of ways for it to work. Just have faith. And in your faith, the Spirit's going to do the work. You just have to be the hands and feet to bring it to them.
Yeah. I mean, don't go in with stones, go in with the blanket, you know. Wrap that person up with God's words, with God's love, and nurture them and tell them. And you know what? You may not be able to save them today, but give it a month. Give it a year. Give it 2 years. eventually they'll come to Christ. Eventually that seed that's planted in their brain, even if you don't finish it, as Nick said, even if they just go to church service and it's the preacher that speaks to them more than you did, it was that seed that got them there.
Exactly. Always remember, guys, speak the word over people. The word of God never goes void. We love y'all. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll check y'all on the next one.
Thank you guys. Love you.